弟兄姐妹早上好。
Good morning, brothers and sisters.
祝大家这个国庆节周末啊，跟朋友跟家人相聚一切都愉快。
So hopefully you have a wonderful July 4th with your friends and family.
我们谢谢裴师母带领我们这些美妙的诗歌。
We want to thank Annie to bring those beautiful hymns.
也再次提醒我们，这个国家实在是一个蒙上帝祝福的国家。
Continue to remind us, this country has been blessed by God.
我们继续为这个国家祷告。
Continue to pray for this country.
我们也希望神继续的使用美国，可以啊，来实现神国度的啊这样的一个啊目标。
So hopefully God will continue to use this country to fulfill his plan.
那么在过去这个上半年，今年呢，我们已经完成了这个加拉太书的系列。
So the first the half a year, we already completed the series of Galatians.
那这个系列呢，论证了因信称义的教义。
The series that demonstrates the doctrine of justification by faith.
所以指出了因信称义不是意味着基督徒只要相信不需要行为。
It does not mean the justification by faith that only Christians need to believe, not doing any deeds.
而是阐出了一个真理。
And actually, it's a clarify a truth.
这真理就是在上帝面前没有任何东西是我们赚得的。
So this truth that before God, nothing is earned by us.
所以这种在基督里的自由就给予我们一种能力。
So the freedom in Christ gives us the strength.
所以让我们在圣灵的引导下可以有一个崭新的生活形态。
So we can have a brand new lifestyle under the guidance of the Holy Spirit.
当然这个过程不是自然而然会发生的。
Of course, this process does not randomly happen.
乃是要经过刻苦的训练。
It actually happens through discipline.
这就是我们推动门徒训练的根本原因所在。
So this is the fundamental reason why we want to promote discipleship training.
所以今天我们正道的主题呢，就是什么是门徒训练。
So today the theme of the sermon is the disciple training.
因为教会今年的主题呢，就是以生命影响生命。
Well, the theme of the church this year is to influence other life by our own life.
目标就是来推动我们教会的门徒训练的事工哈。
The goal is to promote the ministry of discipleship training.
但是因为今年上半年我们主要在巩固我们教会的小组哈。
But the first half of the year, we were spending more time consolidating small group ministry.
所以这种门徒训练的计划就被延迟了。
So the disciple training plan was held off.
那今年这个七月份呢，我们将利用三个星期天的时间。
So in July, we're going to spend 3 weeks.
那我们来和大家沟通这个教会门徒训练的计划。
To communicate with you the church disciple training program.
希望大家不但对这个门徒训练有深刻的认识，而且积极的投身其中。
And besides that, you have a deep understanding of disciple training and also actively involved in it.
我相信这个门徒训练会使我们大家多有受益。
And if we are willing to participate, we'll be all benefit from it.
可能有些人会问，为什么我们要组织门徒训练呢？
And people might ask, why do we have this discipleship training?
那我想我们后面详细的会一点一点讲，但是给大家举一个例子哈。
So we're going to explain to you in detail, but first I'm going to give you an example.
我们知道在圣经里面，特别是保罗用了很多的机会，他来把我们基督徒的生活跟这个竞技啊、体育的这个联系在一起做比喻啊。
And in Paul's the books, very often he used the competition as an example.
那么我们知道今年的奥运会呢将在七月底在这个东京举行哈。
And we know the Olympic is going to be held at end of July in Tokyo.
因为疫情的关系，本来应该在去年举行的，已经延迟了一年。
Because due to the pandemic, we already delayed 1 year.
那么大家知道不知道在奥运会这个历史上得的奖牌的最多的运动员是谁呢？
Do you happen to know who has held the most medals in the Olympic history?
那么这个就是美国的一个运动员，他叫菲尔普斯。
It's an American athlete. His name is Michael Phelps.
那么他呢是一个游泳的运动员，他总共得过28枚的奥运奖牌。
He's a swimmer. He has earned 28 medals.
其中23枚是金牌。
And 23 of 28 were gold medals.
那么在北京奥运会那一年，他一年就得了8枚金牌。
In Beijing Olympic, he earned 8 gold medals.
但是你以为他得了这么多金牌，光是因为他有天赋吗？
Because you think he just have a natural talent?
那他哪天突然间睡醒觉想我要去奥运会得金牌，于是我就去奥运会参加比赛，他可以拿到这么多金牌吗？
So he just woke up one day that was a natural talent that he decided to go to Olympic that he can earn all the medals?
当然是不可能的事情。
Of course not.
所以他从七岁就开始学游泳的。
He started learning how to swim when he was 7 years old.
他再有天赋的话，如果你从来不会游泳，你到了30岁再去学游泳，你也不可能拿到奖牌的。
Because how talented he was, even though you started late, maybe you were 30, you would never earn gold medals.
所以这就告诉我们说，我们要想属灵上争胜，同样也需要付出努力的。
So that tells us if we want to be victorious, we have to have a discipline and training.
那么首先我们来了解一下门徒的这个概念。
Well, let's first understand the concept of discipleship training.
其实在人类的社会发展当中呢，这师徒之间的传承是普遍的存在于任何的文化当中。
So in the development of human society, the relationship between master and apprentice generally exists in many cultures.
那么这个师傅在约定的时间内呢，口传心授，就可以将一门手艺传给徒弟。
During the designated time, the master teach in person and inspire the understanding to his students.
那直到后者呢，可以完全的独当一面。
Until the latter will be complete independent.
那现代社会当中，这种技术的传承啊，已经系统化了。
So how now the modern society, the technology used to be passed down has been systemized and standardized.
比如说这个专业学校，我们就成立了各种各样的学校，可以授予学位、证书、执照等等。
Such as like a professional school granting degree or certificate or license.
那不论你是开餐馆的，是开这个按摩店呐，还是做其他的，都很多需要执照的。
And regardless of restaurants or maybe spas, very often you need the license.
那像一些技术性的工作，比如说是电工、水暖工。
And some of the special skills like electricians, plumbers.
电器修理啊，药剂师助理，甚至牙科助理等等，都需要一些执照的。
So electrical repairers and pharmacist assistants, dental assistants, very often they all need some kind of certification or license.
那这些呢，现在都是可以通过这种专业的学校啊，训练呐、啊，考试啊，就可以达到。
And those are things we just mentioned earlier that you can earn your degrees or pass an exam to achieve.
但是在某些领域啊，这种师徒之间一对一的传授方式依然是存在的。
But then there's a special field that one-to-one still exists.
比如说你在这个高等的研究院里面，你要想读一个博士学位，你就需要有导师，对不对？
So such in the graduate school, if you want to earn your PhD, you will need a special teacher.
这个导师呢，就是对你来说是要在这个非常一个特别的专业方向上，让你能够成为这方面的一个专业的专家。
And the person who's going to teach you, lead you, is very often is your professor that will lead you to learn a special field.
所以门徒训练也是一样，我们需要一种传承。
And so the discipleship training is the same that you still need that how to pass on.
所以门徒一词啊，在旧约当中啊，很少出现。
The word discipleship really appear in the Old Testament.
那么希伯来文呢，这个词呢叫 Talmid.
The Hebrew word is called Talmid.
那么虽然这个导师跟学生这个关系在圣经中是有先例的啊。
And although the relationship between the teacher and the student has a precedent in the Bible.
比如说摩西带领约书亚啊。
And for example, Moses lead Joshua.
以利亚带领以利沙。
Elijah lead Elijah.
但是这些都是属于一些特别的情况，并不是普遍存在。
And there were very special circumstances that were not very common.
而且呢，他们之间的关系从来没有用这个希伯来的字来描述。
And then their relationship was never described in the Hebrew.
那么在列王记当中啊，曾经多次记载了一个名词叫先知门徒。
And but the king, first king and second king, very often there's a word to describe is the, what's it, the company of a prophet.
那么但是也不是使用这个希伯来的字 Talmid 啊。
And they did not use the words Talmid.
那么英文呢，它是把它翻译成这个先知的同伴。
So but English translation is the sons or company of prophets.
因此这个先知和这些追随者之间的关系呢，可能都是比较松散。
So therefore, the relationship between the prophet and those followers is relatively loose.
所以呢，并不是一种严格的师徒关系。
Not necessarily a strict relationship between master and apprentice.
所以门徒这个词主要是在新约里面出现的比较多。
But the disciple appear in the New Testament a lot more often.
在新约圣经中总共出现了216次。
It occurred 216 times.
全部在福音书和使徒行传当中。
It all happened in the New Testament and the Gospel and the Acts.
主要是代表耶稣和他追随者之间的关系。
Represent the relationship between Jesus and his disciples.
其实这个老师他当时叫拉比哈，拉比与门徒之间的关系并不是耶稣所特有的。
But in fact, the relationship between the rabbi and their disciples is not unique to Jesus.
因为在新约圣经的时代，有很多这样的拉比，他们可以开堂授课。
In the New Testament era, many rabbis actually give lectures and taught the law.
他们讲传授的是律法，那么是
they were teaching the law.
那么带领这些门徒呢，来效法他们的生活。
And they were leading those disciples to follow how they live.
那基于他们对圣经的了解不同呢，也衍生出不同的学派啊。
Because they have a different understanding of the Bible, so they have a different school derived from them.
所以呢，在两约之间，就是在圣经的旧约跟新约这一段时间之内呢，这个拉比的这个文化呢，非常的兴旺啊。
And so between the two testaments, the culture of the rabbi was very popular.
那么有两个比较有代表性的学派，一个叫希勒尔学派，另外一个叫沙麦学派。
And there are two representative schools, such as the Hillel school and the Shammai school.
那这些拉比接受门徒呢，其实都有非常严格的标准。
Those rabbis have a very strict standard when they take the disciples in.
一般而言呢，都是学生仰慕拉比的声望。
And generally, it's the students admire the rabbi's reputation.
他们就登门求教啊。
And so they come to be counseled.
那么经过一段时间的考核，只有少数的人可以留下来继续的深造。
So only after very peer assessment, only very few people could stay for further studies.
那这些人和拉比生活几年呢？学成之后就可以自立门户了。
So after those people have lived with the rabbi for a few years, they become more independent.
他们也可以教授律法，也可以接受门徒。
They can start teaching the law. They can also accept students.
值得注意啊，这里面门徒啊，他不但是学习律法，更是要模仿拉比。
And so those are the people, the disciples we're talking about, not only study the law, but also imitate the rabbi.
所以他们是按照拉比的那个教导，犹太人的律法的生活方式来生活的。
So they were living according with the Jewish law.
那么圣经有记载过其他的拉比吗？
And so in the Bible, have they ever described other rabbi?
其实是有一位哈。
And there's one.
他的名字叫加马列哈。
Gamaliel.
那在这个使徒行传中曾经出现过他的名字。
And so it's in the Acts that has mentioned his name.
加马列是在当时一个很著名的拉比。
He was a very famous rabbi.
那我前面讲过说这个拉比有两个不同的学派。那么其中一个学派的创始人是希勒尔。那么加马列就是希勒尔的孙子。
So one is the, we mentioned two schools earlier, that Gamaliel was the grandson of Hillel.
所以他是当时很有声望，而且也是公会的成员。
He was very reputable and also was a member of a Sanhedrin.
那我们知道在使徒行传第五章曾经记载过，当那些使徒被公会的人抓去，公会的人要处死他们的时候。
So remember in the Acts when the disciples were captured, was going to arrest them and kill them.
这时有一个人站出来为他们说话，这个人就是加马列。
There was one person stood up and defended for them. This person was Gamaliel.
那么因为他很有声望，所以那么他说的话，那其他的公会成员也都听从了。
Because he has such a high reputation, other rabbi will listen to him.
所以那些使徒就被释放了。
And so the disciples were released.
而且这个加马列呢，曾经是保罗的拉比。
Gamaliel also was the Paul's rabbi.
就是他是保罗的老师。
And so he was Paul's teacher.
所以保罗在向犹太人辩护的时候，他就提到自己的经历，讲到说我曾经在加马列的门下怎么样学习律法。
So when Paul was trying to defend himself, he said he was under the teaching of Gamaliel.
哇，那他这样一讲的话，当时那些个法利赛人犹太人马上就知道，哇，你这个是非常一个虔诚的法利赛人。
And so once he said that, then people know that he's very honorable.
那么耶稣作为拉比和那个时代的其他拉比有什么不一样呢？
So if Jesus was a rabbi, was he a different rabbi of that era?
那我们先来看一下圣经，就是在马可福音的第三章13-19节。
So let's read the Mark chapter 13 to 19.
这是耶稣啊设立十二门徒的一段经文。
And this is the passage that Jesus set select 12 disciples.
对，马可福音的第三章13-19节。
So let me correct. It's actually Matthew chapter 3:13-19.
13-19. 好，我来读中文，别安卡来读英文。
Pastor Chen will read in Chinese, I will read English.
马可福音第三章十三节，耶稣上了山，随自己的意思叫人来，他们便来到他那里。
Verse 13, and he went up on the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted, and they came to him.
他就设立十二个人，要他们常和自己同在，也要差他们去传道。
Then he appointed 12, and they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach.
并给他们权柄赶鬼。
And to give the power to heal sickness and cast out demons.
这十二个人有西门， 耶稣又给他起名叫彼得。
And those 12, Simon, to whom he gave his name Peter.
还有西比泰的儿子雅各和雅各的兄弟约翰，又给这两个人起名叫半尼奇，就是雷子的意思。
James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, to whom he gave the name Boanerges, that is son of thunder.
又有安德烈、腓利、巴罗罗买、马太、多马、亚勒菲的儿子雅各、何达泰和奋锐党的西门。
Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite.
还有卖耶稣的加利利人犹大。
And Judas, and who also betrayed him.
所以我们在这里看到耶稣确实是个拉比。
And so here we can actually see Jesus was a rabbi.
因为他亲自的有招收门徒。
And he actually himself that select 12 disciples.
那么在福音书里也多次记载他的门徒啊就是用拉比来称呼他的。
And in the New Testament very often, and his disciples call him rabbi.
那么这个在福音书当中曾经有13次是这样记载。
And there is in the Gospel, the book of Gospel, there are 13 times they call him rabbi.
所以耶稣和那个时代的众多的拉比一样啊，他们都是接受门徒教导律法。
So like many rabbis at that age, Jesus accept disciples.
而且和这些门徒呢是一起生活的。
Besides, taught them, they teach them and live with them.
但是耶稣是属于当时那个社会属于不太正规的一种拉比。
However, Jesus was not as normal rabbis.
因为他到处的游行，居无定所。
He went everywhere and very often have no permanent residence.
那么相对而言呢，我们刚才提到那个加马略的话，他则是在耶路撒冷可以开办学校的。
And relatively speaking, Gamaliel opened a school in Jerusalem.
所以在那里招收门徒，所以也是德高望重。
So he recruited disciples that was highly respected.
所以你看，耶稣作为上帝的儿子，但是他在这个世上作为拉比的时候，居然没有世人所羡慕的那些资本。
So as a son of God, but Jesus have no capital that people can envy.
所以我们可以看到耶稣和当时的拉比有很多相似的地方，也有很多不同的地方。
So at the same time, we see their similarity and there are a lot of differences.
大概有四个方面是不一样的。
And there's four areas are different.
首先耶稣是亲自选召门徒的。
And first, Jesus actually personally select his disciples.
我前面讲过，一般情况下都是门徒来找拉比。
And in general, usually are disciples looking for their rabbi.
但是我们看到福音书记载，耶稣是十二个门徒，他是一一亲自的呼召。
But in New Testament, we can see Jesus select all his disciples one by one.
那么这些人呢，在三年半的时间里呢，跟随耶稣全程的服侍。
And those 12 disciples followed Jesus for 3.5 years.
那么耶稣总共有多少门徒呢？
How many disciples did Jesus have?
我们知道他复活了之后呢，大概有500个门徒亲自的看到了复活的耶稣。
After his resurrection, there are at least 500 disciples have witnessed his resurrected Jesus.
所以在这500个门徒中12个门徒他亲自拣选作为他最亲密的追随者。
Among those 500, there were 12 of them that he chose himself.
那这在这12个人当中我们知道又有三个人啊，就是彼得、约翰跟雅各是他最核心的啊，三个跟随者。
Among those 12, there are 3 are the core is Peter, James and John.
那这种的方式啊，在我们现代生活当中啊，大概已经消失了，我们很难看到有这样方式的这种传承的机会哈。
So this method we rarely can see in nowadays.
那么现在我们有这个年轻人有追星族哈。
And so in the, in young people, they have a like to chase, celebrities.
就是你有心中的偶像，无论是唱歌啦，还是明星啊等等，啊，他们就会追捧这个明星哈。
And very often chase a celebrity who, such as a movie star or maybe a singers.
对，他们对他所做的一切事啊，什么都有这个追随者，这个。现代媒体当中都有很多的这个 follower 啊，跟踪他们。
So there are so many followers to worship their idols and to follow everything they do.
但是这种完全没有办法跟耶稣带领门徒来相提并论，完全是不一样的事情。
So this is totally different what the Jesus teaching his disciples.
所以耶稣带领门徒的方式，可以说在我们现在的社会当中几乎是看不到的。
We cannot really, nowadays we cannot really see how Jesus has, led his disciples.
那么第二个方面，耶稣作为拉比带领门徒，不一样的地方是他对门徒的要求是高度的委身。
So the secondly is different is that as a rabbi, his requirement for his disciples, he want him to highly committed.
我们看到这十二个门徒的话，他们必须要放弃家庭、职业，和其他的财产才可以跟随耶稣的。
So for those 12 disciples, Jesus want them to abandon their family, their occupation, and property to follow Jesus.
所以在马可福音第十章二十九节、三十节啊，耶稣这样讲：人为我和福音撇下房屋，或是弟兄姐妹、父母儿女、田地，没有不在今世得百倍的，在来世必得永生。
So in Mark chapter 10, 29 to 30, said, Surely I say to you, there's no one who has left house or brother and sisters, or father or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, house and brother and sister and the mother and children's lands, with the persecution in the age to come, eternal life.
我们知道圣经里讲过有一个富有的少年人，他本来是想去跟随耶稣的。
And in the Bible, we talk about this rich young man who want to follow Jesus.
但是因为他无法舍弃他的财产。
But because he did not want to give up his wealth.
所以他不能成为耶稣的门徒。
So he could not become a disciple of Jesus.
所以耶稣的这种要求，这个远远超出了当时的拉比对门徒的要求。
So the requirement of Jesus exceed what the rabbi required for his students.
那第三个方面是耶稣要求门徒对他个人有绝对的忠诚。
So thirdly, Jesus required his disciple a loyalty.
若有人要跟从我，就当舍己，背起他的十字架来跟从我。
So if anyone want to follow me, he should deny himself, take up his cross and follow me.
所以即使在那个时代，耶稣的这个要求也是极不寻常的。
So even at that time, Jesus' requirements were extremely unusual.
因为耶稣要求门徒，你要付上生命的代价才能跟随我。
But Jesus' requirements asked them to pay the price to pay the price of their life to follow Jesus.
而当时的拉比绝对不会对门徒有这样的要求的。
At that time, the rabbi would never have such demand to his disciples.
因此，耶稣带领门徒是要求他们要效法自己的样式。
So therefore, Jesus led the disciple, asked him to follow the example of himself.
那么第四个方面是讲到耶稣的门徒呢，同时也是使者。
The fourthly, the top disciple of Jesus also are messengers.
所以受耶稣的差派，这些门徒快要四处去宣扬什么国度降临的信息。
So sent by Jesus, the disciples went around proclaimed the message of the coming of the kingdom of God.
所以这个也是特别跟其他不同的地方。
And so this is particularly different than other rabbis.
那么福音书记载，耶稣曾经分别差派了十二个门徒。
And according to the gospel, Jesus had once sent 12 disciples.
又有一个地方讲到他差派70个门徒。
And another time sent 70 disciples.
又到加利利的各城各乡去传扬福音。
So the to the town village of Galilee to preach the gospel.
而耶稣吩咐门徒的大使命，则要是使万民做耶稣的门徒。
And the great commission Jesus commanded disciples was to make disciples of all nations.
所以耶稣带领的门徒绝对不是一般拉比所带领的门徒所期望的那样子。
So the requirement of the disciple of Jesus is very different than the disciple of other rabbis.
所以门徒训练呢实际上就是我们一个人的属灵生命成长的一个过程。
So the discipleship training is a growth process of a believer.
就像一个小孩子在家里面长大一样。
It's just like a little child growing up in the family.
当他是一个婴儿的时候他需要父母来喂奶给他喝。
When he was an infant, he needed to be fed by his parents.
他是不能够吃干粮的。
He could not have just a solid food.
当他长大了的时候他就不能光喝奶因为光喝奶的话他营养就不够了。
So when he was growing up, he cannot only depend on milk, because milk itself is not enough nutrient.
他就慢慢的要吃各种各样的食物来满足他身体成长的需要。
He need to take all different type of solid food to meet the requirement of his body.
那么当孩子长大独立成人的时候他就开始有这样的能力不需要别人照顾他就独立了。
So when this child growing up as an adult, he can be independent without being cared by others.
所以不但如此他还可以照顾家里面的其他人。
And beside that, he can also take care other family members.
所以门徒训练也是一样我们刚刚成为基督徒的时候我们是要喝奶的。
And so it's the same thing as the disciple training. When we just started, we will need to be fed milk.
我们需要别人来喂养我们主的话语。
We need others to feed us, the God's teaching.
门徒训练的目的就是要我们慢慢的长大。我们不需要，不是只是别人喂我们，可以自己从神的话语，从我们跟神的祷告当中，可以获得营养，可以成长。
So disciple training, once you grow up, then you can be independent, you can be fed by God's word itself.
而且当我们慢慢建着独立的时候我们有自己的属灵的分辨能力了。
And once we become independent, we have a discernment.
我们就是不但可以照顾自己我们还可以去照顾其他的人。
You said we can take care of ourselves, we can also take care of others.
这就是我们门徒训练要达到的最终目的。
And so this is the goal of a discipleship training.
那么门徒训练的计划到底是怎样子呢
？So what is the discipleship training plan？
我们可以看到，我们的门徒训练应该是模仿耶稣带领门徒训练的方式。
So we can see our discipleship training is similar to what Jesus teaches disciples.
不过有人会问了，我们如果照耶稣这样的标准去要求，那么谁可以合格做门徒呢？
So if we say, if this is the basis, who can be really qualified to be the disciples?
我们每个人都有家庭，包括牧师都有家庭的。
Everyone has a family, that including pastor has a family.
我们每个人都有财产的，有些人还不止不少的财产呢。
And everybody has some kind of wealth, and somebody probably has a lot more.
那我们的门徒训练应该是什么样的方式呢
？So what is the way our discipleship training？
我们教会现在推动门徒训练，当然是按照耶稣的模式。
Of course, church promote discipleship training according Jesus model.
但是我们不可以照抄耶稣的做法。
But we're not just copy Jesus practice.
因为耶稣生活的新约时代跟我们现在完全不同的。
At the time when Jesus lived, it's very quite different than where we live now.
耶稣在地上的生活，他只有简短的、短暂的三年半的时间跟门徒在一起。
Jesus only lived 3.5 years on earth with his disciples.
因此啊，那个时候，而且教会没有建立起来的。
So at that time, church had not even been established.
所以现在我们的门徒训练应该是秉承耶稣带领门徒的精髓。
So therefore, modern discipleship training should be inherit the essence of Jesus' leading disciples.
我们而不是简单照抄他的做法。
Rather than copy his methods.
那么我们现今要做门徒训练有什么特色呢？
So therefore, what kind of characteristics of today's discipleship training?
首先啊，门徒训练是以耶稣为核心的。
First, the discipleship training is centered on Jesus.
这个没有改变。
And this has never changed.
效法耶稣，对耶稣的忠诚是我们参加门徒训练的必要条件。
Following the example of Jesus and the faithful Jesus still the necessary condition for participating in discipleship training.
这么在教会的时代，我们知道耶稣现在是在天上而没有在地上跟我们生活在一起。
So in the church age, Jesus right now does not live us on earth, he's in heaven.
所以我们只能根据圣经所记载的耶稣事迹和他的教训来效法他。
So we can only imitate Jesus' example based on the deeds and the teaching of Jesus recorded in the Bible.
所以简单的说，门徒训练就是培养信徒效法耶稣的样式。
So simply put, discipleship is to train believer to imitate Christ.
第二个，门徒训练的话呢，我们现在我说耶稣没有跟我们现在生活在一起，但是我们现在跟我们生活在一起的是谁？是圣灵。
So secondly, the discipleship has to have a help of the Holy Spirit.
所以我们有内住的圣灵成为我们的帮助。
And so we have a Holy Spirit help us inwardly.
所以五旬节圣灵降临，就教会得以在地上建立起来了。
So the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost, the church was established.
所以门徒训练呢，有带领者跟学生，但是真正的带领者乃是圣灵。
So discipleship has the leaders and also the students, but the Holy Spirit is the true leader.
因此门徒训练当中，那么无论是带领者跟学生，都要特别的留意圣灵在这个过程当中的工作。
So therefore, disciple training need to pay attention to the work of the Holy Spirit in the process.
所以带领者不是培养自己的门徒。
So very importantly is the leader is not training his own disciples.
乃是耶稣的门徒。
But a disciple of Jesus.
所以一个成功的门徒训练所造就的门徒呢，这么他们会熟悉神的话语，他们体贴上帝的心意。
So a disciple created by successful disciple training is familiar with God's words and consider God's will.
那么最后一个特点，门徒训练就是以使命为导向的。
Finally, discipleship training is mission-oriented.
所以门徒训练培养耶稣的门徒要代代相传。
So the disciple training is passing down from generation to generation.
因此门徒训练不是只有一个环节，乃是环环相扣。
So it's not only is one setting, but interlocking.
那么门徒训练可以采取这种小组的方式，也可以有采取一对一的方式。
So disciple training can be done in groups or one-on-one.
那么前者的优势呢，在于有一个团体的支持。
So advantage of the former one is the support of the group.
那么后者的优势呢，则是针对性强，比较行之有效。
So the advantage of the latter one is that it's highly targeted and more effective.
所以我们希望参加过excuse me. 那么我们希望参加过门徒训练的这些基督徒呢，他们是有一种这样的训练的能力哈。
So we were hoping that who is participating in the discipleship training has the ability to train.
他们跪下去就可以祷告的。
And when they kneel down, they can pray.
当他们站起来，他们就可以传扬福音的。
When they stand up, they can preach the gospel.
所以啊，我们很难想象，如果有一个人说他是学生啊。
And so it's very hard to fathom if someone just say he's a student.
但是他从来不上课的哈。
A student never go to school.
那你怎么说你是学生呢？对不对？
How can you say you're a student?
如果你说你是个厨师哈。
If you say you're a chef.
但是你从来不会烧菜的哈。
But you don't even know how to cook.
那如果说呢你是个士兵但是你说我从来不会开枪的哈。
And so if you say you're a soldier, you don't even know how to use a gun.
然后呢你说我是个推销员但是呢我从来都没有客户哈。
And so if you say you're I'm a salesman, but I never have any customer.
所以同样的道理如果我们说我是个基督徒但我不是门徒。
But similarly, you say I'm a Christian, but I'm not disciples.
同样的道理。
It's the same way.
所以这个基督徒就应该是门徒的。
So therefore, Christian should be disciples.
这两个应该是完全等同的。
They should be equal.
从来就没有一个选项是说我可以作为基督徒但我不需要成为门徒。
There's never the selection. You can just be Christian, not disciple.
今天呢我们一起思考了这个题目什么是门徒训练。
So today we already spent time ponder what is a discipleship training.
首先呢我们从门徒的概念入手讨论了这个新约时代的拉比和门徒的关系。
So first we start with the concept of disciple that we discuss relationship between rabbis and disciples.
然后我们又看了耶稣是如何带领门徒的。
Then we see how Jesus led his disciples.
那耶稣带领的门徒呢确实有他的独特之处。
And Jesus led his disciples in a very unique way.
那么他要求门徒对其个人的忠诚和委身。
And he requests his disciple to have a total commitment.
这也是现今对门徒训练的要求。
This is also the requirement for nowadays discipleship training.
所以根据耶稣带领门徒的模式我们提出了门徒训练的三个特征。
So according to the model of Jesus lead the disciple, we propose three characteristics of disciple training.
第一个是以耶稣为核心的。
At first, Jesus is the center.
第二个是有圣灵的帮助。
And second is need the help of a Holy Spirit.
第三个方面就是以使命为导向。
And then we have a goal, the mission goal.
那么什么是门徒训练呢?
So what is a discipleship?
简而言之,门徒训练就是要训练基督徒,要效法耶稣的样式。
So in short, discipleship is to train believers to follow, the example of Jesus.
那么从前呢有一个基督徒啊他的名字叫 Kimball, 啊。
And there was one Christian, his name was Kimball.
那么他有机会呢传福音也带领了另外一个年轻人呢啊来做这个门徒的训练啊。
So he was, had opportunity to preach gospel, he also led a young man to Christ.
这个年轻人呢是修鞋的哈。
And this young man actually was repair shoes.
那么但是后来这个人的话他就成为了一个非常有力的这个传福音的人。
And this person became a very famous evangelism.
他的名字就是 D.L. Moody.
And his name was D.L. Moody.
那么我们现在知道有这个穆迪学院是不是哈
?We know there's a Moody Seminary School.
那么就是在芝加哥附近它就是以它的名字命名的。
And it's named by this Moody is in Chicago.
那这个穆迪呢曾经带领一个年轻人信主他叫 F.B. Mayer, 哈。
And so Moody has led one young man to Christ and his name is F.B. Mayer.
Meyer 的话他只是成为了一个小很小 church 的一个牧师后来。
And so this Meyer actually became a pastor in a very small church.
但是这个他有机会呢在这个 church 里带一个当时的学生信主。
And but then in this, that church, he led one student to Christ.
这个学生的名字是叫 J.W. Chapman.
And this student's name was J.W. Chapman.
那他后来创办了一些YMCA 等一些很著名的这些个基督教的机构。
The Chapman actually created a very famous, some organization like such as a YMCA.
那么在这个机构里面服侍的时候，他也当时带领一个这个棒球的选手啊，一个年轻人信主做带他做门徒训练。
While he was serving, he also led a baseball player to Christ.
那这个人的名字就是 Bill Sundays.
And this baseball player is named Bill Sunday.
他就是在 Billy Graham 之前在美国最著名的一个传福音的人。
And before Billy Graham, he was the most famous evangelist.
所以我们看到这就是像一个多米诺骨牌一样是。
So you can see this is a domino effect.
所以门徒训练就是这样子。
And discipleship training is just like domino effect.
那是一代一代的传承下去。
It's a pass on to one generation to another.
所以今天我们思考的问题是为什么是门徒训练？
And today,
什么是门徒训练？
So today we really ponder what is a discipleship training.
那我们在下一个星期天我们继续来思考门徒训练的问题。
And next we will continue to study this discipleship training.
我们来思考为什么我们在教会来推动门徒训练。
Why our church want to promote discipleship training?
好，让我们一起低头祷告。
Let's pray together.
天父上帝，我们感谢你的恩典。
Dear Heavenly Father, we will thank you for your grace.
特别是今天是美国的国庆节，我们特别为这个国家向你献上感恩。
Especially today is an Independence Day of the United States. We want to give thanks for this country.
我们知道你对这个国家的祝福真是有丰富的恩典跟怜悯。
You have abundantly given the blessing to this country.
你也曾经使用这个国家将福音传到了世界各个的地方。
You have used this country actually to share the gospel all over the world.
今天在我们庆祝美国国庆节的时候，我们再一次将美国仰望在你的手中。
And while we're celebrating Independence Day, we continue to put this country in your hands.
我们恳求主你怜悯。
We need your
我们恳求主你赦免在这个国家所有不合你心意的地方。
We ask you to forgive all the things that is not pleasing to you.
愿主你重新的复兴这个国家。
Continue to revive this country.
这个国家有很多你的儿女，很多的教会。
And this country has so many your children, and there's so many churches.
求主你再一次的复兴这些教会。
We ask you to continue to revive those churches.
使这个国家能够继续可以为神所用。
And so this country can be continued to be used by you.
我们也为我们的门徒训练计划，我们仰望在你的手中。
We will continue to pray for our discipleship training program.
求主你预备我们弟兄姐妹的心。
Continue to prepare our hearts.
愿我们可以投身其中。
So we can really pour our hearts into it.
我们可以愿基督耶稣的生命在我们的生命当中可以扎根开花结果。
So the life of Jesus Christ will continue to flourish and blossom in our life.
我们这样的祈求祷告奉靠耶稣基督名求。
We pray in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.